We are ready when you
we're
are.
We're ready.
Ready.
Okay. We're ready when I am. All right. I'll count us in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You are listening to Flowing with Famous, the Fresno podcast, where we talk about all things Fresno. This is Joshua Tiki, a.k.a. Famous Whitewater. And with me, Mike C. of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts. Mike.
I'm with you. Hello, yeah. Fresno.
We're on phone. We're on quarantine.
Yeah, phoning it in. Usually we're in the studio phoning it in, but now we're actually phoning it in. How are you? Yeah, it's August. Woo. And it's starting off nice.
I know.
August, this is some nice.
I was out at
nice
yesterday. So yesterday in the daytime, it was a little rough. But I was out at about 7-ish, mm-hmm. 7 to 8-ish, 9-ish. And it was great.
Yeah.
2 days in a row I was out like that, and it was very nice. So
very nice. I'm all about great patio summertime. Weather.
Perfect.
Though I've got a lot of mosquito action. It's very annoying.
Oh. See, I hate mosquitoes. I try to stay away from them.
Jump in the mosquito pits myself, but
here's the question. Are they the little baby ones that like chill out at your ankle level?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's like different, the last few years.
Oh, okay, I haven't noticed them being different. I noticed baby ones and bigger ones, but I didn't think about them just being ankle biters. So
they're like a different species or something,
oh,
I think.
Oh, okay.
And I only know this because a friend that I know is very like into the mosquitoes. So apparently there's these little tiny ones. These are the ones that hang out low to the ground and get your ankles and stuff. Different than the giant ones.
Oh.
And I can't tell you which ones carry West Nile or yellow fever or whatever it is that's, you know, going around.
Well, that's interesting because I do get a lot of ankle stuff, and then I get around the head and neck arm area.
Yeah, and I think they're two different species of
Good to know.
I think. I'm sure someone would know for sure, mosquito abatement or someone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like last year or the year before, they were talking about this new kind of, because I hadn't.
The Google, are they the Google mosquitoes?
Well, let's see. Mosquitoes.
I mean,
the
ones that they released all those thousands of mail, impotent mails.
I believe that is some of them, yes.
Yeah.
It
turns out, because I was gonna do a post about that, and then I wasn't paying enough attention when Google came to town a couple years ago and did that whole thing, and only like two neighborhoods they did that in. I was sort of under the impression like they did it throughout the whole city, but it was little neighborhoods, because I've been like, what the hell, man. I thought Google basically claimed victory on that. And they were like, yeah, we did it.
Yeah. We destroyed. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. West Nile found in Tulare County or in Fresno County. I'm sorry. That was back
Bad happens in Nunez's area.
That's probably true. But we made it through.
How are you doing over there with the, you know, I've got a family to keep me sane here. How are you doing over there?
It's okay. I think, not doing a whole lot. Get to see, I go to see my parents periodically and as safely as possible. I'll wear a mask a lot of times when I'm in the house with them. We're doing some kind of group martial arts training in the park, but we're doing outside at distance.
Okay.
Everyone has masks. We do like weapons training, so sticks and stuff,
mm-hmm.
so that we're at distance.
Were you at a roading park?
No, we're actually going to, yeah, it's over by your place. It's like Sierra and West, that park there that's by the
school.
There's a school.
Also, they're all park by a school.
Is this Sierra and West? Yeah, it's like there's the school, and then on the backside of it is...
Oh, the Star Elementary School.
Yeah, and
you're behind that park, it's behind the Star.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we go over there and hang out and do some stuff. But it's like we're trying to be as safe as possible. So everything.
Well, if you're outside and you're distanced, then
yeah, everything's a distance. Everything's outside. Yeah. We still wear masks.
I mean, that's as much as you can do.
So, that's been nice. And then working at home, and the bee has, I believe, I want to say last that we heard it was working at home until the new year. So, which is, it's been nice, but I've still gone out. I'll tell you what, I went out.
Uh-oh.
I've been out a couple times.
Uh-oh, Josh.
Yeah. So one, I went out to the Darling Hotel. We could talk about that a little later, but, in Visalia, and got a tour and stuff. And so that was nice. And it was very like, I think there were three of us, me, photographer, and the owner. So it was fairly easy. And then I went out on, the Sunday after, the governor reclosed churches or said that they have to be outside or whatever. I was working on that Sunday, and, we wanted a story. What are churches like in the first day of reclosing or whatever? Mm-hmm. And so there was a church in North Fresno that was having an outdoor service in their courtyard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like an early thing. They were doing 8 o'clock to beat the heat or whatever. And I started work at 7, and I was like, well, if I go now, I can get out there. I can just get a general sense of what things are like.
Mm-hmm.
It's outside, like whatever. No big deal. And the way that they had described it, like just in my mind, for whatever reason, I wasn't prepared for what was going to happen essentially. So I get out there, and there's like a line of cars. It's like just before 8 o'clock, there's a line of cars turning into the parking lot. And I'm like, whoa, okay. So I get in the line, I turn in the parking lot, and I'm getting out of the thing, and no one is wearing masks. I have a mask on. No one. I'm the only one. Looking around at all the cars, people coming in. No one's wearing masks. So I'm like, oh, what have I gotten into?
And
I
really trapped. You're trapped in there.
I really was like, oh, maybe I should just not do that, but I'm already there. So I go, and as I get to the main place, the courtyard, there are people with masks. There are some people with masks, and there are people who are obviously with the church, So I talk to who I need to talk to, and whatever. And the main guy, actually, the assistant pastor, has a mask on and gives me the whole rundown. And I hang out for a while and then watch a little bit of the thing, and then I go. But it was kind of crazy in a lot of ways, because you get out there, and so it's outside, which is what I guess they're saying is whatever, but there was not, if there was social distancing happening, it was very minimal.
Yeah.
There were signs up telling people whatever, but it wasn't really being done. And then there were people with masks. I wouldn't say there were a lot of people with masks. I wouldn't say it was the majority of people with masks. And it seemed kind of just like a normal Sunday thing outside for them.
Yeah.
And they were saying it was like 10, it was like 10% of what they normally would get. So there was probably 500 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And, normally over there.
Is it people's? Sunday,
they would get like, no, it was Cross City Church, which is like knees and Willow, Minnewawa, like out that area.
Breadfield country.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so, yeah. and so, yeah, it was just, I was shocked a little bit. I really, when I got out of the car and there was no one else with masks, I was just sort of like, uh-oh, you know. And it was weird because I was like, well, do I, like, for a second, and quickly I decided again, but I was like, well, should, I'm going to look weird. I need to take my mask off. Like, what am I doing? You know,
No. It's like walking into a party you're not sure about, and you walk in and there's like two people and you're like, and then they've seen you walk in already and you're like, oh shit, I can't turn around. I can't leave now.
Like, exactly right. And so I was, and then, you know, and it was fine. Like once I got closer, obviously other people had masks. And so I was like, whatever. And then also I was just like, well, I'm protecting myself. I don't care. You know, like whatever. And it was fine, and then I guess the following week, so that was like, whatever, 2 weeks ago, and then not this weekend, but the weekend before that, they had the big, I can't remember what they called it, but it was the big worship thing in downtown where like they were doing baptisms.
Yeah, that guy Film Flam Man comes to town and baptizes you and gets your money and leaves.
Well, it was a tour that they're doing, and it stopped in
tour,
Fresno.
Quote unquote tour.
No, it was. I mean, so it was he is a Christian musician and activist. Mm-hmm. And this was one of several stops. He stopped in Bakersfield on Friday. He stopped in Fresno on Saturday. And he was moving, I guess, up, and then they were going to go into Texas or whatever. And
Arkansas.
So they had the big worship service set up, and no one was wearing masks. And they were, like, literally baptizing people in the fountain outside City Hall. And, you know, same kind of thing where it was like, I'm sure there were some people there with masks, but the majority of the people
He couldn't have gotten a permit for that, right? He had to have just, like, they just did it, right?
I mean, no. They must have had a permit because it was a big. It was a big setup.
I don't think they did.
Let's find out. I mean, it seems weird that the city of Fresno would give them a permit for that. But at the same time, I mean, maybe they feel like they could. Maybe the city feels like either. They can't not give them the permit because of like Black Lives Matter things, or maybe it's the same, you know, they're like, well, we allowed the Black Lives Matter protest to happen without permit. So, but yeah, I don't know if they had to have had permits because it was like a big deal. Like they had staging set up and everything, you know, with lighting and the whole deal.
My producer is telling me that the city, they didn't have a permit, but it was allowed since it was on government public property.
Well, that's a new one on me. So we can just go and set up on public property.
Yeah. Right. If it's public property, you can do what you want.
That's interesting. What do they consider public property? I wonder.
The fountain. I was waiting. Where is it? Because the fountain has an account. Is it a Twitter account? I think it's a Twitter account or Instagram. Uh-huh. And I didn't see it tweet out anything. So I was just curious if it tweeted something.
Well, no, they did. And I guess it was going to go into San Diego the next day. So it was like, they did Bakersfield, Fresno. They were going to San Diego. Then they were going into Texas. And it was part of it was a worship service, but it was also like a anti-Gavin Newsom, anti-mask wearing kind of thing. But it's weird to me that we're still in this place where people think that...
we're better, but we're still learning. It's like, God, at this point, come on, guys, let's.
I mean, really, if
it's not that big a deal either. Like, once you find a mask that you like, at least, I mean, I know at first I like it's,
I have several
sort of weird, but
you know, I have like, I have masks for like, I have my going out mask. I have my lounging around mask.
Your date mask. Do you have a mask like, you would wear on a date?
Right. I have a mask that, the mask I wear when I'm exercising that like fit differently, like, you know? And so it's like, yeah, you can make things work.
I've seen a lot of like, we have it at the house too, but I've seen a lot of people on social media too. Like the hat racks are now mask racks.
Oh yeah, man. I can, yeah, my, yeah, you can look at my, I have like so many stupid masks just hanging out. And it's an easy thing to do. So it's weird to me that even at this point there, you still have elected officials even who somehow for whatever stupid reason can't get it through their minds that this is what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, regardless of policy, you know, like, if you believe that things should open or not open, whatever, fine. But masks shouldn't be, that to me shouldn't be a part, you know.
Right.
It should be like, okay, you think that things can open, but in that, we should all be wearing masks, you know.
If we would all have just, 4 months ago, if we all would have just been convinced ourselves, let's all wear masks, we wouldn't be. Yeah. Dealing with this right now.
And I'll tell you what. So I went out the other day and I was going over to a friend's house and we've been going back and forth. So like we're essentially it's like as if I'm quarantining with them.
Right.
So like I don't necessarily wear a mask all the time around them because it's like, yeah, we've, mm-hmm. We broke that a long time ago. So whatever. And so I left, I was going over there and I didn't have a mask on. And it was like the first time that I have gone out without having a mask with mm-hmm. me. And I felt weird. I was like, even though I was just going over to their place and I was only going over there for a little while. It wasn't, I was like, oh man, this is, oh boy, what if I get caught out in the world without my mask?
I know I have like a backup mask in the car just in case I forget the mask I want to be wearing.
That's very smart.
I leave the house. Yeah, you got to leave a dumper mask in the car now.
I think that's, I mean, we got to get there.
I don't even know. People like getting, when I'm getting gas, people are just, I don't know why they think like, oh, it's cool. I don't need a mask for getting, when I'm getting gas. But it's like, I'm always wearing my mask when I'm pumping gas. I'm just looking around and like, rarely somebody else is wearing one. I'm just like, why do you think it's, I mean, I know it's outside, but you're interacting with the pump system that everybody else is touching. Why would you want to not wear a mask?
Right. You should have. Yeah. I kind of feel like, you know, and at first, I thought this was weird when I would see people like driving around and they would have the mask on mm-hmm. in their car or whatever. And I'd be like, why are you wearing your mask in your car? It's just you in your car, you know? But now it's sort of like, oh no, just when you go out, the mask comes on. If you're out, you have the mask on. Mm-hmm. When you're inside your house or wherever, the mask comes off. And that's just the way it is.
Right.
And it's not that big of a deal.
That hard.
And I feel like masks, man, even in the last 4 months, they've come a long way in terms of like, dude, there's some awesome looking masks now that are like, you know.
Where's the it'll grow back mask?
I know we need to make one. I'll tell you. Oh man, we should. I'm going to get on that because
Fresno B mask. Come on.
Well, and there's masks now, like the mask that I use when we're in the park and doing like exercise stuff, like it fits well. Like, you know, it really, it doesn't, I mean, you know, you're breathing hard and stuff and there's, so it, that kind of is an issue or whatever, but it fits, it doesn't feel like it's falling off or like what. So I feel like we've, you know, and obviously other countries are way ahead of us on this. So,
yeah.
But you should be able to find a mask that you're cool with and put it on and not have to deal with it. So,
what do you, I mean, I don't even know what to talk about. We talked about it so much.
I love how this is where we're at. No. Where it's just what are we even?
I just thought it was fun how fun. Well, this is a few weeks ago now, but how, you know, they basically said that Fansler can't have Pismo's is not a patio OS enough.
Yes, right.
Uh-huh. And so Fansler was, you know, trying to make the argument that it is a patio because he's got giant windows.
Some big tent and made an outdoor.
So, but like before he had to acquiesce and do that, he was trying to fight. And like I think it was a Fresno Bee interview. And he basically just dragged a bunch of other restaurants, which, you know, you usually don't see that other restaurateurs just like throwing a bunch of other restaurants under the bus.
He was
like, look at Lucky Dog. Their patio's not any better than mine.
That's not right.
I just thought it was funny. Yeah. I'm sort of like, I don't totally agree with Fansler on things, but also like, I hate that Pismo's is like one of the most unique restaurants in town, the way he has it set up, and it has it set up like a coastal place. And so like, I hate that he's getting in trouble for having this unique place, but then I also see that it is not quite as open as a patio is, but it's
right. But I mean, I don't know. I think he probably has a point in the sort of arbitrariness or like the lack of clarity as to, or, well, I mean, maybe it's actually really clear. I don't know, because I haven't looked at the actual code or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it seems like just from what I have seen from all of the various industries that it wasn't really ever clear about what would be permissible and what would not be permissible. So it was like, here are some general idea. Here are the things. How you choose to deal with them is up to you. Go, right? And then they get mad or not, depending on whether, you know. So in some ways it's like, but to me, and I suppose if you have a business, you're going to push up against, you know, you're going to take it as far as you can. So if they say like outdoors, you're going to be like, okay, what's the least I can do to make this outdoors, quote unquote, you know, instead of like being like some places, I think, went the opposite way. And we're just like, well, if I can't open without like meeting all this and knowing that it's safe, then I'm not going to open it all. It's not worth it for us. Mm-hmm. I think he went the opposite, which is like, we're going to open. We're going to get it as close as, you know, right to the line, letter of the law as we can. And that's going to be it. And if they want to close us after that, they can, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's going to get mad about it. My problem with that is that whole thing is that dude took a bunch of money in loans so that he wouldn't have to do that shit.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's why, you know, each of his businesses got, I don't know what, Pismo's got $1 million, the other at least $1 million, the other one, Westwood's got at least $1 million, like whatever. So he got these loans for that very reason. Right. Which is like to work through all this. And then he's just going to be like, oh, well, but if we just open our things, and it's like, well,
our windows will be like, you can't do both things. You can't be completely open and getting money.
Right. Or, I mean, I guess you can, you know, but then you should be a little more, I don't want to say grateful about it, because maybe that's not the right word, but you shouldn't be bitching because you got $1 million that a lot of other businesses didn't get.
There's a lot of businesses out there that didn't get anything,
that's going to allow you. And also, you do have a business where you have the luxury of I mean, A, trying what he did, but then also being in a place that has parking lot that is big enough for him to just set up tents or whatever they were doing afterwards. And also he has a business that allows him, I mean, you know, I wonder if, you know, he has a business that has made him obviously enough money that he can just suck up a couple of those, fines and it not be a big deal.
Yeah.
Where it's like, there's probably plenty of restaurants that can't open because if they get a fine, they're going to close down. You know?
That's it.
So, it's, and the other thing is it's, you know, every, it's not as if restaurants are the only businesses suffering. And that was, you know, the Fresno Bee had the story about how the California, I think it was the California Restaurant Association, but it was the,
there were some emails, you guys uncovered some emails.
Businesses, were like essentially lobbying the county to get us to open earlier than we should have. And really just being hard about it. And which we all kind of knew was happening, I think, but, the Fresno Bee did a Freedom of Information Act and got a bunch of emails that really were explicitly pointing out like, yep, this is what was happening. You know, while the number of cases was increasing and blah, 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 they were, the restaurants were like, we got to get a, you know, and eventually they got what they wanted because the restaurants opened earlier than the rest of the state. And now look where we're, look where we're at. So, so it's just interesting to me because it's like, you know, we're all, they're not the only business that's suffering. I mean, I think.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you have to worry about the businesses that have nothing to do with outside. Like being outside doesn't really help me at all. I mean, although I haven't seen any of this, so maybe it's just not a thing. But like, if you're like a dress shop or say you're a Horn Photo or something, like, how do you, can you set up something in your part? Like, hey, these restaurants get to use up parking spaces. Can't I just set up some racks outside? So, and
I think that I don't think that retail business has been reclosed. So okay. I think retail business, because retail business was in like that number one first thing, phase one or whatever. And so I think the reclosures just went to phase two, which is like restaurants, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not sure. But yeah, I would think that that would be the thing. In fact, I know it is because
like if you, like I if, think can like, I go into, because I haven't even been in the River Park this whole time and. Can I go into H&M right now and shop? My producer is saying I can.
So, but I could be wrong. So I know like the indoor malls are closed. So like Fashion Fair, Manchester. Oh, okay. But outdoor malls, I believe, are still open. And I believe that retail businesses can still operate.
Okay.
But... you know, that was the big thing with the salons, you know, the hair, the barbershops and the salons, is being able to work to be outside. And they were like, well, can we just set up our chairs and blah, blah, blah. And the licensing, California cosmetology, blah, 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 said no.
Oh, okay.
They were like, no, apparently in the code, it has to be inside the licensed business. And so, they lobbied, and that got changed. So now they can, it's okay. Not everything. Like there's still some things you can't do outside. You can't get your hair dyed or whatever, but you can get a cut and, you know, normal kind of stuff. And I think you can get your nails done outside. So there are some that are doing it, but again, there's a lot of places that don't exist in a spot that has.
Right. Yeah. Not every spot has that.
So
they have an alley.
And I know a lot of cities are doing, I think Visalia just started this where they're actually closing down a street. And they're just opening it up for businesses and restaurants.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw Brew Bakers was all, because it was like, hey, we're out here, and they had cement barriers.
Yep.
Like I guess that's what you're talking about. They just completely made a lane for them.
Yeah. So, and I think so. Visalia was doing a thing where you could extend your. I think that you could extend your business out into the parking, those parking stalls. Mm-hmm. But I also think they were going to shut down part of the street just for that reason. And I think Santa Rosa, where Russian River is.
Yeah. I know where Russian River is, buddy.
So I want to say they were talking about shutting down that whole street. And just, the street would be shut down to cars, and they would be open up, and people could just do their business on that, in the parking lot.
This one big fun beer garden.
It would be sort of like, what was that? The Fulton Mall?
Yeah. Fulton I remember. Mall. What was that? Fulton Mall. That was a cool concept. We should bring that back.
We might be forced to go back to that.
Oh, please, before this is over, we need to shut down Fulton Street and make a mall out of fun mall.
God, wouldn't that be awesome if they just were like, we're just gonna shut down the street for a little while and open up to all the businesses.
Yeah. Let them come out onto the sidewalks.
Have you seen any businesses, restaurants otherwise that are doing cool patio stuff?
Like making their patio all cool and stuff.
Yeah, or just like, any cool places that are so like Tioga is doing this whatever Pints and Bites or whatever.
Or you can make a reservation there and think the one that sort of looks normal almost is the Out of the Barrels, but they're sort of just out in the parking stalls, which it almost looks like it's just there anyway.
Right.
Kind of thing, and you can go there, and I don't think you have to have, I think at one point you had to have food, but there was like this little weird law where like you had to actually have paid for some food, and it had to be a receipt. You had to have the receipt with you.
I believe that's still the case, but I could be wrong. I think that's still the case.
But I don't.
It's still like you have to have. But I
technically. But I don't. Yeah.
And I think they were just doing like
having food out there.
I can't. But I don't know. I mean, that could be. They could have changed that since.
I've just been making the case for like this is the way Fresno is like. It just to me, it's put a light on like Fresno is way under patioed, and I know, and I mean. I know you got to have some shade because it's Fresno, but like there's not enough patios in Fresno that comparison to how much sunshine we have. We should be like the leader in patio space in the West Coast. It's like,
And especially like we were just talking about. So after like 6 o'clock, it starts getting pretty nice outside. Mm-hmm. So, and that's actually when we talk about the Darling Hotel in a bit. They have a rooftop bar lounge or whatever. And so because of this whole thing, they have to be outside, which they are. And they said that, the evenings they're booked for like weeks.
Wow.
Because in the evenings it gets nice. And so people, will come out and hang out and whatever. So early mornings, their breakfast and their dinner service are huge. Not so much in the middle of the day, but so I think that's just one of the things that's going to happen is we're going to see, hopefully stuff like that where people will be like, yeah, why aren't we doing this all the time?
Wear a mask and more patios. This is our lesson from the first half of Flowing of Famous in August.
There you go.
Let's get the band of the episode, Josh.
Band of the episode. What are we doing with this one?
We're going to go way back. We're going to turn the way back machine. Matt from the Perfect Pour was having one of those nights where you're just listening to old music, and he's like, text me. He's like, and he's listening to Fay Wray's, the old Matahari album. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I started listening to it too, and I'm like, holy crap, this was just like an era of my life where I was just listening to the Fay Wray's constantly and going to all these shows. And I'm just like, damn it, I can't go now. Even though I'm barely going out to shows anymore, all of a sudden, because now this pandemic has taken stuff away, I'm like, I want to go to a show. And before that, I was like, oh, I'm too tired to go to a show. But now I'm like, why can't I go to a show now?
Yeah.
So I was just being nostalgic. So
I love it. Let's hear. I love the baby.
I miss those guys. I don't know what, do you know? I think one of them's in LA or maybe two of them are in LA.
They're both in LA.
Yeah.
It's just the two, I think it was just Benji and Eli.
Right.
And then maybe they had random people doing other stuff, but I think it was just two of them. And I think they're both in LA now.
I think they would have Turbo doing keyboards once in a while. And they would, you know, have somebody once in a while on the live show. They would have somebody sometimes, uh-huh, a third person doing something. But yeah, right, it's right, usually right. Just
yeah. I think they did have people periodically, but it seems to me like yeah, they were always, but they were great. I think that was like that era was like peak. For me anyway, and you know, we're of a certain age, but I feel like it was the peak indie rock.
Yeah.
You know, when that album came out, that was like the peak, and then it kind of started going. Mm-hmm. That was
basically
like,
if you had Eli drumming for you, you're
right.
You're doing good.
Right. The what was it, Eli Fest that happened during the Fuse Fest?
Yeah, the Eli was it five bands that Eli had to drum for?
That. Because, and that was kind of the end, the beginning of the end, I feel like, yeah, where it was like, oh, yeah, now we're, after that, it just started all going.
Peak Eli, and then the Eli curve started going down. And
right.
I blame Eli for the end of that era, for leaving to go in Los Angeles.
That's what I'm saying.
We love Eli.
I'm going to go. So we're just teasing Eli. I'm going to say, Eli, it's on you. This is all on you. So if you're listening. But that album is definitely, there are some.
And although this wasn't necessarily the Fairies, because they called themselves something different, but they did one of my most favorite things ever for the Fringe Festival, the
Rogue Fest,
where they played a silent movie, and they did the soundtrack for the silent movie, and you watched the silent movie live, and they played live for that. That was my favorite thing.
I think they did two of those.
Yeah, they did.
And they were both, just amazing. That also to me was like the peak of that. You know, that, mm-hmm, I feel like that was just to me like so such a cool thing, such a like artistic band thing that like we don't really see that kind of stuff anymore, and I mm-hmm, miss it a little bit, you know, is people just like really stretching their artistic, mm-hmm, you know,
creativeness,
and being like, yeah, we're a band, but we're going to do something else for this one. Mm-hmm. Check it out, you know. And it was really cool.
So you're talking about this Visalia. We're going to... I know, we can't all talk about Fresno, I guess.
I know.
Visalia is doing. Like, we got to take lessons from Valley. If Valley Town's right, doing something Fresno's not doing, we got to look at it and go, why can't we do that in Fresno? Yeah. You know?
I also feel like, to me, I know, and maybe this is blasphemy, but like it's the same. Like, you know, to me, like Fresno, it goes from, you know, probably Tulare to Merced or something, you know, like all the same. Like I just include all of it in Fresno.
It's a it's a region.
You can get down to Visalia from where I'm at, and I do it all the time, and I always make the mistake of thinking it takes longer than it does.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes like 35 minutes or less. Mm-hmm. And I'm always early for everything because of it, but anyway,
well, you don't have the Thule fog to worry about so much anymore.
No,
so.
Yeah, that's true. So down in Visalia, there is the Darling Hotel, which was at one point the old county courthouse annex. And I think the building was built in 1935. It's this really awesome Art Deco building.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, it was just used by the county. And then for the last like 10 years, it just sat empty. And the county moved out and it just sat empty. And so they finally sold it to this group of investors who turned it into a boutique hotel. And so they kept it very much era appropriate. So it feels like, you know, 1930s, late 40s LA kind of Art Deco.
Mm-hmm.
They kept a lot of the original architecture. And then anything else, I mean, so they, aside from like the first couple floors, the entranceways and stuff, they gutted the whole building, you know, new plumbing, new HVAC, new electrical, like blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And then they rebuilt the whole thing, and it's just it's pretty amazing. They have a rooftop bar, lounge bar kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does feel like, it feels like the kind of thing you would get in downtown, you know, downtown LA, mm-hmm. or down, you know, or in Portland, San Francisco, like a boutique hotel.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting. And we've probably talked about it on this before. Like Fresno doesn't, like, we don't have, like, yeah. we don't have that.
Aren't those, those guys that were going to do that, still doing it in Fresno? They're on Fulton or by the next to the Security Bank building or something. Isn't there one happening still?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I thought that could be happening.
That would be awesome. I mean, I think, to me, I feel like there's opportunity there. Definitely for people who are coming in from, you know, coming in to go to Yosemite or coming, mm-hmm. you know, from yeah. Kings Canyon or whatever, coming in and hitting the whole thing. You know, I think we get enough tourists coming through that end up,
you'd think,
at hotels, you know, whatever.
You give
Visalia, I think it was
need.
A little different because Visalia, and I don't know about Fresno, although I would kind of assume Fresno's in the same place. Visalia was like underserved in terms of hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So for there, it made sense. Like, right. you know, there's not enough hotel rooms anyway, so we could create this boutique hotel room and really play it up. They redid the whole building. It looks amazing. The art and everything in there. I mean, once this is all mm-hmm. done, I would definitely go and check it out. Although they're doing a lot of like staycation kind of things right now. And apparently they're getting a lot of people from surrounding communities mm-hmm. coming in and just staying for the night.
That'd be cool. From Fresno, just stay there. And cause downtown Visalia is, a cool little area to walk around
for sure.
Spend the night.
And what's cool is you could totally just hang out at the hotel cause the rooms are very, really nice. The views are great. Once the air clears up a little bit, there's fires right now, but once the air clears up, I'm sure you can see just all into the foothills and into mm-hmm. the Sierra. And it'd just be amazing. The rooftop bar is just amazing. I was literally like, ooh, I need to find a reason to go stay at this hotel.
Take notes, somebody in Fresno.
I mean, and that's totally. And, you know, I don't know. The other thing is I don't know if it would be doable in Fresno, like price-wise.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think the city was very eager to get that building into someone's hands to re. And I don't know. The county owned it. And I don't know if there's anything like that in Fresno. You know, I think that like the buildings in Fresno are owned by people who want to make a crap ton of money. And so I just don't know how feasible it is for a building like that. It's a five-story building.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the old Fresno Hotel is actually gonna happen.
Oh yeah, it is happening. They're getting through it. I saw the when I did a tour, it was still empty. Like they were still they hadn't put up any walls or anything. Uh-huh. It was all. But I saw the layouts, and they look cool. They look really cool.
I mean, that was something we just thought at one time. Nothing's ever going to happen. They're going to have to tear that. Down, and I mean, it's. We have to really, I mean, we got to knock on wood here, wait till it's done, like to have that, even if it's apartments and not a hotel, it's like to have that back as a functioning
place. That would be really
awesome.
I mean, and I think because they're hoping to get retail and like a restaurant on the bottom floor, mm-hmm. which would be just amazing because the bottom floor, the entranceway,
those old pictures and celebrities that went through there and stuff. And
you can everyone can really amazing. And you know, I'm really interested, not that I want to move out of where I'm at now, but mm-hmm. like if rents are reasonable and it's, you know, I would definitely move in. And then the other thing is, I think there is going to be some percentage that's low income housing mm-hmm. too. So that'll be good.
And it's, I mean, you would know this, I guess, best, but like, are all those lofts in that your area, the Mural District and stuff, are those pretty much occupied? Is there like a, I mean, is it, is
that's it? That's what I think. I mean, that's what I've generally heard, that they're, I don't think they're all occupied, but I think the occupancy, you know, the rates are fairly close to what they are around the rest of the town.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but it seems like that. I mean, I know where I'm at, you know, anytime someone moves out, it's like within a week they have someone else moving in, you know.
Well, that's so good. And you got, looks like you're actually, speaking of things that have taken forever to reimagine themselves, it looks like you're going to get a grocery store.
That's what I keep seeing. I looked at it the other day. It does look like there's stuff in there. Until they open the doors, I'm very interested to see what they have in there, because it would be very nice for me.
I saw a picture of beer and wine doors. I didn't see any actual product, but I saw that they're going to have beer and wine in there.
You know what's interesting to me? Beer and wine would be the, or beer would be the one thing I wouldn't buy at a grocery store close to me, because there's breweries close to
me. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like,
that's the one thing you don't need.
If I can walk to Tioga, I can walk to Zach's, I can walk mm-hmm. 411, whatever, like with it, like, so.
And now you're going to, I think that South of Shaw has got to be getting close, right?
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yes. It should be. I haven't looked at that actually. So I don't know, but yeah, that's also in the works. So, right. So I wouldn't necessarily need beer, but.
And this is going to be, this market's across from Fulton 55, right?
It's on Fulton 35 is on Fulton Divisadero. This is on Van Ness and Divisadero. So it's one street now.
Oh, okay. That's not the one I was thinking of then.
Right. It's like just right across from the Frosty Queen is right there. Okay. And, I'm very excited. If they have the things that I normally get, you know, produce,
the basics and stuff,
I will probably shop there, because it would be much easier. You know, I could just walk there at any point during mm-hmm. my week. And it wouldn't, especially now, you know, where it's like going out is kind of a thing, to just be able to be like, okay, I'm going to go out there tomorrow or whatever. So yeah, I'm excited. And it's about time. I think there's enough people down here now that it warrants it. So,
and over there, the Fulton 55, that new Josh Wigger mural with the owl and stuff, that looks pretty damn cool.
Ooh, I saw it the other day. I'm interested to see, you know, when it finally reopens, what they do and what, you know, what, how they're gonna, you know, I think they'll have a big thing, because they've also done some interior stuff. So I think like the downtown.
So they're not closing. Like, is there, they'll be ready to, once they can do shows again, they'll still be there. Knock on wood.
I believe so. And they're one of the ones that have, you know, they had talked about, because they have a liquor license, you know, they had talked about the possibility of trying to open up under like bar rules when that was a thing, mm-hmm. And or even opening up, like trying to figure out something, you know, and just realized it wasn't worth it. So they kind of just put it off, and they're like, once it's back and we can really do it. But, you know, but they had a bunch of money set aside, because I guess January 2021 will be their 10-year anniversary.
Oh, okay.
And so they were looking to do a bunch of renovations and stuff for their 10-year, their 10th year. So they had been setting aside money for the last however you know, for a while to do that. And so this just pushed the timeline up for them. And so that's why they were able to A, remain close and be cool, but B, put in some actual work, you know.
Oh, that's good. Have you heard about any venues that are like done that aren't going to be there when this is over? Or?
So I think Numbskull and Strummers will be fine. I haven't heard for sure, but I think so. And they just recently, yesterday or the other day, they had Trail of Dead, the band Trail of Dead, did a live stream concert benefit, and part of the money went to Numbskull. Oh, wow. Strummers.
Okay, that's cool.
So, you know, I think they'll be fine. I think they work with enough places that, like, you know, I think they're managing. I haven't heard specifically. Yeah. When I talked to the Tower Theater, that was pretty dire. He made it seem like, you know, depending on what happens, they may just end up renting it out to a church or turning it into a warehouse or whatever. Yeah. You know, I mean, they're a little better off because it's a nonprofit, you know, so they can kind of, I think, you know, do some workarounds. Mm-hmm. But that's what he was saying. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the Warner's Theater would be, you know, I would worry about them being able to to stick it back together.
The Crest doesn't have a whole lot going on anyways. I don't know.
I mean, some of those, it's probably, you know, Warner's Theater is the same way where it's like, if it's not open, they're probably not, they'll just shut the whole thing down and it's not really probably costing them all that much except for like, property taxes and stuff. So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, nationally, I know that it's, you know, they're saying that 90% of live music or live entertainment venues will probably close completely. Like,
right.
This is the national, there's some organization that did a poll and that's what they found. So, but I think the government is putting entertainment venues in their next round of stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
if it makes it through.
Yeah.
Sucks is it's gonna foresee like not that I know what I'm talking about, but all the people that own these original places that, you know, open it because they love it and blah blah are gonna lose their place, and then somebody new is just gonna step in and take over that venue and then they're gonna start making them, and like the ones that didn't invest in it and didn't lose their ass because of this whole thing, you're just going to walk in and be like, I've got this cool new venue now that everything's back.
Right. And, so, I mean, I think that's what's going to happen because the market is still going to be there eventually, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's not like the demand is going to go away.
Once we're all comfortable with being together again without restrictions.
And what's going to happen is now there's going to be a bunch of empty buildings ready made for this stuff. So if there's someone that just has the capital available at the time, they're just gonna step in and buy the, you know, place and liquor license, you know, and so I mean, it could be, I don't see it. I mean, I see it sucks because they're people who really did build some really cool stuff that are probably going to go away. But I feel like other people will hopefully fill those spots. So
it's just going to be sad thing for the business owner, but the consumer is just, if they're not thinking about it, you're not going to see a difference really. And it's just that the sucks of the business owners that put their love
I mean, although you might, you might see some difference because, you know, I think there are people who are good at running live music venues and there are people who are not. And I think the places that you see existing and thriving now are doing so because they are good at it. So if those places went away and were replaced by others that maybe didn't do as good a job, I think that could hurt.
Right. You know. Yeah, that's true.
So, but, you know, I also think that those, you know, the Numbskull, for instance, you know, if they lost Strummers, let's say, you would wonder, like, they could just go back to booking other places and rebuilding until they get to a position where they could get a venue again, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There's a lot at play, in that, but, you know, the good thing, I think, the Good Company Players and Second Space, Roger Rocco's, all that, I uh-huh. think that's going to be okay, because they've been doing some hardcore fundraising for that. And I think they just had yesterday or the day before, they had like a live stream like fundraiser thing. And they had a GoFundMe page that had raised like $20,000 or something. Wow, so
yeah, that would be terrible for us to lose that.
Yeah, I think they're getting a lot of support from the community. So I think they're going to be all right. I mean, you know, all of this is like, at some point, you know, I need to check in again, you know, just because I think that can change. But yeah, I mean, I think there are going to be a lot of places that are just going to sort of not reopen when it's time, you know.
Right.
So, and I think what you'll probably see is other places filling in the, you know, that did make it, trying to fill in those spots. So, you know, if Goldstein's is still there, maybe they start doing a little more music than they did before, mm-hmm. or someplace else, you know, places that aren't necessarily music, like site, like built for these things, will start doing it until the other places can get rebuilt again, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, if Strummers, if Strummers was gone, I think that would be a huge hit. Fulton 55 left, that would be a huge hit. If, you know, Tower Theater to me is a huge,
you just scared me talking about church, because I'm just like, I want the Wilson to be back as a venue and not a freaking church,
right.
But it's like, damn it. And like, well, the Tower Theater as a church in the middle of the Tower District, I mean, I would hope that would at least be a progressive ass church.
At least with the Tower, I think that would be like a lease situation. So it wouldn't be like a church would come in and buy the building, like the Wilson. I don't think they're wanting to sell the building necessarily. I think they just want to, they would just want to have
somebody that's going to make them some money back for a while.
Right. That's what I think. And that's why they were also saying, or just put it as a warehouse, a storage, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just so it's not losing money.
Right.
Which, again, you know, then that seems like a good indication that at some point, if things begin to turn around, then maybe they become.
Yeah, but at least it lays groundwork for coming back as it used to be, and not being like, well,
right. But the problem is, the longer these places, like especially like a historic theater like that, the longer they stay closed, or the longer they get used for other stuff, the harder it is for them to come back. And that's why, you know, a place like the Crest was used by a church for a while, and the church came in and just did a bunch of crap inside that kind of like messed, you know.
Yeah.
And so they had to go back and fix some of the stuff, and some of the other places the same thing. So you don't want those places to sit. You want them to be.
That reminds me, happy belated 2 years belated birthday, the 100 years of the Liberty Theater.
Oh yeah,
it was like I think it was 1918 it opened. I saw recently on one of those Fresno groups and Facebook and. We missed, maybe I wasn't paying attention, or maybe we did something, but it's been there for 102 years now.
Wow.
Liberty Theater.
I believe that the Warner's Theater is coming up again on their either the 90th or 100th, or maybe they already hit it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. So much has happened in the last however long that, because I think they were actually planning something, or maybe they already did. Nah. I don't know. I'm so confused by things these days. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, we definitely have some of those historic places, and you know, it would be really cool to see them back up and running. But who knows?
Who knows? You know, speaking of history, especially. History, you enlightened me to somebody. I felt bad that I didn't. I don't think I was aware of before. Nancy Allen passed away.
Yes.
She was 102, and one of the first television personalities in Fresno, basically.
Yeah, I think so. And I didn't know either until her son actually contacted the Bee and was like, you know, she died. She was 102. And I didn't really know anything. But apparently she was on KMJ TV, which at the time was Channel 24, and it was owned by McClatchy. So this was when it was.
See, like, I didn't even didn't even know McClatchy was around back then owning stuff.
Yeah. So at one point in time, McClatchy actually owned, KMJ radio. They owned KC24 TV KC24, and they owned the Fresno Bee. So they had the kind of news monopoly.
And this was the Bee was at the Met, the CMAQ building now.
That is correct. And then eventually, you know, they had to divest and they had to sell. And so that's when KMJ became KMJ and KC became whatever, you know, it is now. But before all of that, this Nancy Allen and her real name was Francine Hannah Martin. And she came from Oregon or someplace, and her husband worked at Fresno State, and someone in the theater department there knew that KMJ was looking for a TV personality. Although at the time, I guess she didn't even know it was, she thought it was radio, because they were like, oh yeah, it's KMJ.
Yeah,
she was like, okay. And so she goes in and she auditions and she, you know, gets the part. And they are like, all right, you're Nancy Allen now. And here's, you know, and so they gave her own show, and she had, I guess she did a bunch of different things over the years, but, you know, she started with interview, like a lifestyle show with interviews of celebrities who were stopping through and, you know, book reviews and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then eventually she did this in the 60s, I guess she did the movie matinee. And it was on in the afternoons, and she would
introduce about the movie and stuff.
And then, yeah, and all the commercial breaks talk about the movie. And then I guess I think it was around the same time she also did a gardening show.
All right.
And was around until the 70s. And then, you know, the station kind of changed again. And so she retired and. But people still talk the lost. I found a bunch of good information on the Lost Fresno.
Okay.
Website.
Look on the Lost Fresno website. If you want to read more about Nancy Allen. And yeah. Josh's,
and it was like, I think it was called, article. I had a crush on Nancy Allen.
and then there was, she was a big Bulldog booster too, right? I saw that Fresno State, booster club was sort of eulogizing her, talking about her. She was a big, part of that too.
And then there was a podcast we should probably find out more about, but like a Fresno's podcast. Past or something podcast.
Okay.
And they did like a 3-part interview with her, just talking through all of her stuff. It was really very interesting. So I listened to that as part of the research for doing the obit. But yeah, really cool stuff. I guess along with like Al Ratka, she's like. You know, the person that people recognize, and she would get recognized even, you know, just like last year, she would be out. She's 100 and whatever.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And people were like, hey, are you Nancy? Yeah. She'd be like, yeah. So, Yeah, so she died. She was 102, and, you know, her son was like, she lived a long... I mean, if you live to be 102...
Jeez, yeah.
Yeah, you you made it.
But. She was as she was born that when the Liberty Theater opened up. That's crazy.
Yeah, 1918. I was like, wow, that's it. Like,
she would have... Yeah. I mean, she was around...
I guess, but
I would think she was around when Sororian was around too, like at one point.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, Sororian, you know, like I think he was, I mean, when did Sororian die? In the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Like 80 something. So I think Sororian was around like,
Like he,
I mean, you know, he, I mean, was
he went to San Francisco, and then I think, you know, I think he lived out the rest of his life in Fresno.
Yeah, yeah, in that house over.
Yeah, in that house.
Hey, speaking of, did you ever hear? I don't think they're doing
it. Oh, yeah, with the hologram of Sororian in the house. Yes.
No, that's not what I was going to. Although they did have that, and I haven't been yet.
Uh-huh.
But it sounds like it's really awesome. No, Mark Arax was doing this thing on KBPR, where he would have local authors reading William Sororian each week.
Oh, okay.
And it was really, and then they would talk about the story, you know, so like they would have, you know, whatever Fresno poet laureate or different Fresno authors. And then Mark actually read a couple of stories too, and they would read whatever William Sororian piece, and then they would talk about why they think it's so cool. And it was a really cool show. I'm not sure if it's on anymore. It was on, I think, Tuesday, Thursdays for a while. But
if you can find some way to watch a tape version of that or something, tweet it out or something.
For sure. Yeah, so. I'll see if I can find it. It's really
Well, I think we're good here, Josh.
August. One more thing we need to talk about, because we always talk about it. The fair finally.
Oh yeah.
Pulled the plug.
We called it
on having a normal fair. So they're doing a drive-through and virtual experience.
How is that gonna work?
So the drive-through thing, I guess, is very similar to what they've already been doing with the food trucks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or with the food vendors, where you know, you just drive through and you can get corn dogs or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be like that, and then along with that, like, I don't know how it works. I guess you'll drive through the fairgrounds or something. But apparently, they'll also have some kind of live entertainment at that point for people in their cars waiting for their food or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the virtual stuff is, you know, whatever it is. I don't know how exactly that's all going to work out. But and that's all the, like, you know, all of the, you know, the auctions and the showing of the animals and all the, you know, competition stuff. That's all going to be done virtually. So, and I guess this is what a lot of fairs are doing right now. All the big fair, the Mid-State Fair, I think, is going to do this, and the Orange County Fair and some other ones. So there wasn't a lot of details they released, like, but, you know, so I think once it comes closer, they'll start releasing actual details about what's going to happen. But, you know, they had already canceled the concert, so you kind of knew what was going to happen. And I guess they had until the end of July to kind of come up with an idea that would work, and I guess this is what they came up with. So there you go. It's gonna be, I mean, I think it's gonna be weird, but to not have the fair, but at the same time, you know, everything's
weird, so it's like,
right,
that's just another thing that's weird about,
well, and it, I mean, and it's already August, and it's like you have to plan,
yeah,
and so you can't. How do you plan for, because we have no idea what this thing's going to be. You know, if you had started planning in May for this, for now, you know,
right. Yeah. Maybe it would be something more, but now you're just like, just trying to come up with anything.
So, anyway. All right.
All right.
Now we're done. Let's get to it. Let's
Plug it up. Josh. Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah,
I'll let you start.
TheFresnan.com. I have a blog there. Love it. I post things on there.
What, you had a good one. What was, oh, oh man. Oh,
gosh. What did I do?
What was the last one you did? It was like, whatever. It was good. Go read it. Know. If you haven't, if for those
of you oh, go read it. Oh, guy, it was a good post. Oh, man. So good. Neither one of us can.
I really need to write this stuff down because I like.
I don't know what I posted.
The month, and I'll be like, "Ooh, I need to talk to him about that." And then, obviously, when it comes time,
look back on the July post and be like, "Oh, there's the one Josh was talking about."
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That was a good one. Wow.
Anyway. Yeah. So there's that. Then also the other podcasts I'm involved with, Get Off My Podcast, the Harrison Ford Show. We're due for a new one here. Hopefully this week you'll see a new episode of that.
Get Off My Podcast. What's the topic you got?
We don't have much to talk about. Harrison had a birthday.
And okay.
That was that. We got to talk about that.
He's 90 now or what?
No, he's 82. 78, something like
that? Yeah, 70s.
78, I think.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
I might be a little off on
that. He's old, but he's not. He's still not all right. Clint Eastwood.
He's getting around. He's been spotted in grocery stores with his mask on. You know, he's still out there. He's been riding his bike. I've seen pictures of him riding his bike. So he's trying to stay in shape, waiting in limbo for that Indiana Jones 5. The Perfect Pour weekly
Beer
Geek show. We like to have fun. I think if you just like relaxing with beer, I think you can enjoy the show. You don't need to be a beer geek, I don't think.
Right. It's a very fun show.
Perfect Pour on the same thing you can find this show on. And what else? I have a Beer Geek newsletter I'm pretty into called Drinking and Thinking.
Getting into newsletters. Very nice.
Drinkingandthinking.substack.com if you want
to
check it out.
Oh, I'm going to have to write that down.
Drinkingandthinking.substack.com.
Okay.
I'm trying to get it. I was doing it bi-weekly, and now I'm trying to do it every Saturday. A new newsletter. So,
all right, I'm in. I'm gonna. So, no,
I think I might. I might do that with the Fresno version of that as well. Once I get my time, you know, sorted out. So if I get it, if I can figure out how to do that and keep my life, not affect my life at all. I'm going to do a Fresno version of it, but we'll see.
Very good. Let us know. Keep us updated because I'm sure people will be excited.
What are you doing, Joshua T?
So I will always plug my day job at the Fresno Bee and FresnoBeehive.com. I will say right now, McClatchy just went through the sale, so we are being sold. And what that means, we don't know yet. The news as it came out sounds promising, that the hedge fund seems to want to keep the company intact.
Yeah.
But who knows? That's what they're saying now. And so we're going to be happy with it. So that just happened. But, you know, I really do think that local news, especially right now, is so utterly important, especially in time of COVID. You know, especially when, you know, there's all of this, you know, the president is trying to keep information from getting out.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have information locally, and I think it really is important. I feel like the Fresno Bee has done some really good stories lately with Freedom of Information Act requests. That were really kind of able to get into some things that just wouldn't be reported otherwise. Like that story about the restaurants pressuring the county to reopen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that if there wasn't a local reporter doing that, that story would never get told, right? And maybe it's not important, you know, but I think it is. So
it is.
Yeah. So newspapers.
Newspapers, man. I just got mine this morning. Physical paper. Okay.
What's in there? What's in there?
I haven't read it yet because I'm doing this, Josh.
So I'm on a little bit of a vacation, which is like a weird thing to be saying right now. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea what the paper's all about. Normally, you're pretty good.
Unplugging, man. I'm on vacation, man. I want to hear about it. Paper stuff.
Anyway, so there's that. And then I also have another podcast that is an Aikido podcast. And which is martial arts, but we also kind of just talk about self-defense and a lot of other stuff that's called Aikido Discussed, and as in discussion. You can find that on all your podcast places. It's pretty good if you're into martial arts, and especially if you're into Aikido. My various bands, the Strikingly Originals, we should have a couple of songs released soon. We're trying to figure out exactly how to do that. What makes the most sense, rather. We can do it logistically. We just want to make sure we're doing it a way that makes sense. So
yeah,
should be a couple songs getting released soon. Very excited about that, including a cover song. And I'll just leave it at that. it'll go back and the rest of the band's not doing a whole lot right now, just kind of chilling out until this is all done. So, but you can definitely find that if you're getting nostalgic. You can check out It'll Go Back on Bandcamp.
Spotify? And, can I listen to It'll Go Back on Spotify?
You can. I think you can, actually. I'm fairly certain you can. I'm fairly certain you can. I know you can listen to the Strikingly Originals on Spotify. I think you can listen to It'll Go Back. What I would suggest is, and I don't know if you probably have it somewhere, but other people are going to have to track it down. The Gray Tank.
I do have that. It seems like that might be on Spotify.
Gray Tank compilation.
But yeah,
it's called Appendix Sessions. And a bunch of great stuff on there. And then also there's the Fresno Covers Fresno Comp.
That's on there.
If you want to, I think I have listened
on Spotify.
And that's like a nice twofer because you're getting Fresno bands covering Fresno bands.
Right. So. That's a good album.
Yeah.
That some good people came up with there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll be back in September.
Hope so. Knock on wood. Take care of each other. Keep your mask on and
keep your mask on. Be safe, man.
We got to make it through.
Stop listening to your local politicians talking crazy.
Yeah.
Be safe. What do you think at the end here? I know I'm just, but you have a child. Mm-hmm. What do you think about schools reopening?
You can't. I mean, it's too much. I mean, Mike Oz made a good point here recently. I saw was like baseball sort of showing you what happens because you have these guys that, you know, athletes, the most healthy people in the world.
Right.
They're with each other 8 hours a day. And still doing some, you know, still trying to be distant as much as they can, but they're together 8 hours a day, and they're having outbreaks all over Major League Baseball now. And basically, that's what you're gonna see in the schools even more so. Is like you're gonna be in class all day together, and then you're forcing a teacher to do. I mean, that was going to get pretty interesting with Clovis Unified, where the board says, nope, we're opening schools. And the teachers are like, what? Because Clovis doesn't have, I didn't even know this. Clovis Unified doesn't have a union. And
They might now.
Teachers union. And
They might now. So
that was the big news
is that when that came out, a bunch of teachers were like, ooh, I think we might need to unionize. Yeah,
like, whoops-a-daisy. I mean, there's no good, like a lot of things nowadays, there's no good alternative. There's just bad and really bad. So it's like, It's bad, and then death.
Death bad.
It's really difficult to keep kids home all day, and the online learning is not ideal. You're not learning as much as you would in a classroom, and you're having kids that parents that need school sort of it's in the system to where like you need school for like sort of a daycare and sort of a
that is right.
keeping them mentally
if you work right yeah uh-huh.
and
uh-huh.
this and yep. And keeping them mentally on top of things, and just there's a whole growing thing that you put your kid through school for to experience, and to not have that, and there's a whole system of, you know, how teachers and office staff and everything can keep an eye on kids and see if there's something going on at home.
That's right.
They can kind of, you know, sort of suss that out and help. And that's, I understand that's not happening right now, but the alternative is just having outbreaks amongst the whole school system. You're making
people dying.
People that are working at schools, and there's nobody there that's doing it for the money. You're doing it because you want to work at a school. You want to be a part of that education experience, and to force people to have that decision of like to go to work in those conditions, and you just can't do it. And so you got to wait this out and see. Hopefully next semester, hopefully in January, February, things will be
right.
Better, and if they're not, we'll just have to do a whole year virtually.
I mean, really, the worst thing is, and I feel like, and I've said it, but we just lost the year.
Yeah.
I mean, we just did. We lost it. It's fine. I mean, it's not fine.
It's not fine, but yeah.
Because we also lost a lot of human beings.
Right, but we got to, that's just a whole nother level that I can't even discuss, but it's like.
Right. That's just what we need to do. It's just like the year is done. Cool. We'll check in January. Yeah. In the meantime,
I'm worried about August 2021. I'm just, I you know,
I mean, seriously, no, I it's just like, yeah. Did you see Zara Arboleda on Twitter going against, I think it was Bredefeld, you know, because they both had, there were two Fresno City Council members who had this press conference. Essentially demanding that schools be reopened.
Yeah.
And she just let in on them. And it was fairly glorious. It was like, oh man, you know, cause she's a parent and she's like, hey man, what the fuck, you know? It was sad that it has to kind of come to that where it's like a constituent calling you out on Twitter, but you know, it is what it is. So. All right, on that downer of a note, can we play some upbeat music?
Everyone, just do some self-care. Take care of yourself. It's going to be all right. We're going to get through it. So we're going to whenever I'm faced with something like this, heavy like this, I always try to get myself through it, whether it's a shitty day at work or whatever it is.
Long-term.
I got big picture. So you got to just think like one day I'm going to be looking back at this and like, that was an insane time, wasn't it?
That's right.
We're going to get through it. It's going to take longer than we thought. And
I think that if we all are smart, we'll get through it sooner than otherwise.
So. Yeah. Just big picture, big picture, people. We're going to get through it.
I'm going to count us out. 5, yeah, 4, please. 3, 2, 1.